What you're about to hear is a satirization of talk radio, a send-up of the medium. In other words, it's supposed to be funny. The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up tonight, we have with us Lloyd Bonafide, and Margaret Gray will join us in the next hour with her political campaign 2004 report. Is this Christian?
Yes, sir.
Christian, how are you?
Yes, I'm doing very good.
You're good?
Yes, sir.
Now, where are you? You're in New York City, right?
Yes, I'm in New York City.
Now, I wanted to talk to you, Christian. We'd spoken to you about a month ago. You said a lady gave you or offered you crack cocaine to vote for John Kerry?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
A lady offered you crack cocaine to vote for John Kerry?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Can I ask you just a kind of a personal question? Like, are you homeless?
Right now, yes, I am. I've got, right now, yes, I am. I've got a place to stay tonight. But I have to get my car. I'm over on, right now in Brooklyn right now.
Your car's in Brooklyn?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
And a lady said to you she'll get to your rock if you'll vote for Kerry.
That was my understanding, yeah.
Did she get it for you?
Yes, she did, yeah. Yes, she did.
Tell me about it, because, you know, what happened?
Just what you say, she said she would, get me a rock if I would vote for Mr. John Kerry. I said, well, you know what, I'll do that. I will do that. And she got me down.
She got you some crack, huh?
Yes, sir, she did, yeah.
Do you have a substance abuse problem, Christian? Are you a crack addict?
Am I a crack addict?
Yes.
I would have to confess that I am. I have had a problem, you know, with a variety of substances, you know, and...
You've been trying to get off of them, huh?
Yes, I have. I made a good... I made a very good start, you know.
But you're back on, you're using drugs again?
I'm afraid I am. Yes, sir, I am. But I'm trying very hard, you know, to get off. And I'm going to go to a meeting tonight. A man came, talked to me. He said, take me over to a meeting. So I'm gonna go to another meeting.
That Narcotics Anonymous?
Yes, it is, yes. And I'm going to try very hard, you know, to go over and do that.
Well, since that lady gave you that crack cocaine, are you going to vote for Senator Kerry?
I guess I should, you know.
Your word is your word, huh?
That's correct, yeah. Yeah, your word is your word. That's correct, yes, sir. That's very much correct, yeah.
So she gave you the rock, you're going to go vote for Senator Kerry?
I believe I will, yes, sir.
Did you register?
I did. I registered last month, yeah. When that was the same lady, too. She come over and she, I have to say she, you know.
What? What did she do?
Well, she did, perform sex on me. I'd have to say she performed sex on me. Yes, sir.
She performed sex on you to get you to register to vote, and then she gave you crack cocaine to promise to vote for John Kerry.
That's correct, yes, sir.
What kind of a human being would do that? Did she give you her name?
She said her name Helen Hunt.
Helen Hunt.
I believe that was it.
Do you know who she is?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I've seen her in Mad About You, and Good As It Gets.
As Good As It Gets. What was the other one, Chris? Twister, did you see that?
I did not see that, no. I did not see that, no, sir.
That's about the hurricanes and stuff.
Yes, sir.
So Helen Hunt did that, huh?
Yeah, yes, sir, she did. And she gave me her phone number. She said, you know, come to L.A. or where she lives. She said, come. But I'm trying to get straight, you know, so I cannot do that now, you know.
Well, how do you feel about all of this, man? Having a woman perform oral sex on you and then giving you crack cocaine just so you can vote for John Kerry. How do you feel about that?
Well, I don't feel too good. I don't.
You don't feel good, do you?
No, sir, I don't. I don't feel too good about that because, you know, you have to, you have to be pretty desperate, you know. Do that for a man to
But you feel beholden that you have to vote for Kerry anyway.
Well, yeah, she does. You know, I mean, she, you know, she did a pretty good job, you know.
Really?
Yeah. So,
All right, sir. Thank you for talking with us again, Christian. I hope that you are able to get to that Narcotics Anonymous meeting and get your car out of Brooklyn.
Yes, I am. I'm going to try and do that tonight. Yes, I am. I'm going to try and do that tonight, and I'll go to a meeting tomorrow morning because I don't want to go to a meeting. They say never go to a meeting, you know, when you're loaded or anything, you know. So
you're stoned now?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I'm afraid I am, yeah.
All right. Thank you very much, Christian, for being with us.
Mr. Henry? Can I?
Yeah.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Can you give me a one of your best of CD with an autograph? Because the man here, I know a man here who want to get an autograph CD.
And what are you going to sell it?
He said he'd give me $20 for it, but if you don't want me to, I won't do that.
All right, I'll get you an autograph CD. Okay.
Can you give me a Steve Bozell shirt? A Steve Bozell T-shirt?
Yes, sir. I'll get you to Steve Bozell.
And just one more thing. Can you give me $10? Just
No, I can't get you $10, okay?
All right, Mr. Henry. I appreciate it. I don't mean to...
All right, I gotta go, okay, Christian?
All right. And, Mr. Henry?
Yes?
God bless you very much, sir. I want to say God bless you, and I want you to say you read your Bible, and everything's going to be okay.
Well, all right. Well, you should read the Bible.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read the Bible. And I just want to say God bless you.
All right. Christian, you have a very good evening.
Okay, God, I just want to say one thing. Okay, I just...
All right, but I got to go.
I just want to say one thing. I want to ask you, and I don't want to bother... Can you give me Rush Limbaugh autograph?
All right, I'll get your Rush's autograph if I can.
I really appreciate that. I'm very, very sorry.
All right, I got to go now, okay, pal?
Yes, sir. All right, and I just want to say one thing.
Go ahead.
I just want to say to everybody listening that you're a good man. I want everyone to know I acknowledge that you're a good man. And you have been very kind to me.
And all right, Christian, thank you very much.
And you had. And the winter months are approaching, Poe, so please keep me in your prayers. That's all I want you to do. Just keep me in your prayers, all right?
All right, I understand the winter months. It's going to be very, very cold. I hope that you can avail yourself of the shelters.
Yes, I will, but I just want everyone to keep me in your prayers. You never know, you know, the winter months are approaching. The winter months are approaching. You know, I might not have a place to stay.
All right, Christian, God bless you, and I hope you're doing well. I'll send you that $10, and I'll send you Rush's autograph. And
if you can get me a Starbucks...
Will you get out of here with a Starbucks? Helen Hunt. 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray coming up in our next hour. Lloyd Bonafide. We have Rastafarian Radio. It's back, baby. Bigger, better, and funkier than ever, and... weirder than ever, and all white Rastafarian Radio. We also have Jeff Dowder on how to decide who to vote for this election season. And Jay Santos will just pay a brief visit to tell us what's coming up on tomorrow night's show as Jay joins us on our Wednesday night shows. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And now it's time for Dan Rather, Dumbass Part 3.
Hello, I'm Dan Rather, and this is Dan Rather, Dumbass Part 3. Tonight, we have information that a large meteor is streaming towards Earth. That's correct, a large meteor which may contain... an orbiting capsule with a small baby inside. The baby, once inside the Earth's atmosphere, could...
Excuse me.
I'm sorry.
What are you doing?
I'm on the air. I'm doing a news report.
What is it with you, Rather? You're in the can. You're sitting on a toilet.
No, I'm doing...
What do you mean, you're doing? I came in here yesterday, man. You're reporting some other crap. You're looking into a mirror and you're sitting on a toilet. Don't you know you've been fired? Do you hear the sound in here? Tile? Hello? It's a toilet! A public toilet!
I have just been informed that I'm sitting in a public toilet and that I am not in a news studio. How could this happen? Our sources point to the Bush administration as being a likely contributor to this falsity. Now it turns out that...
Dan Rather, a real dumbass.
Thanks a lot, Dan. It was great, man.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Let's put Fuller around with that. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Tonight, Margaret Gray with the Campaign 2004 report. Oh, yeah, we're going to find out what's happening there. We also have Lloyd Bonafide on tonight. He is a disgruntled homeowner here in the United States, and he's got a real problem, as many people do year in, year out, with Halloween. How long before they finally kill that one, huh? How long before we just suck all the fun out of Halloween? It's happening, isn't it? Oh, man, we can't have it on Sunday. And the kids aren't safe in any neighborhood because you got one weird creep after another trying to do this, that, and something else. So you got to drive 4 miles to find a set of houses, five or six houses, where there are human beings living inside who actually have some kind of a sensitivity toward children and have a bag of candy for the poor kids. Won't be long now, though, man. We'll put a bullet right into the head of Halloween, just like we're screwing everything else up. And this isn't, see, everybody wants to say, you see, the government's not doing this, man. This is a cultural thing. This is the planet Earth, baby. This is the world we live in. Can you figure that? The kids can't go door to door and have a trick or treat anymore without some big problem. And I got to take my kids over to another neighborhood because on our street, I mean, first of all, the houses are 86 miles apart and you can't even find a walkway to the front door. Most of them have gates. And I don't know who's behind those gates, and I don't even know if the kids are going to be welcome there. So we got to go to a regular, like, normal neighborhood where there's human beings, and there's a few, thank God, in the town that I live in, out in Thousand Oaks. It's a great town. I mean, up and down the street, you know, Chris, you grew up in that area. Up and down the street, there's a guy on one of the streets that we go to, that we take the kids to, that every Halloween, he's on his driveway cooking hot dogs. Well, it's great. And I talked to the guy. He goes, I just got tired of the candy thing, man. We got hot dogs and Cokes. I go, that's phenomenal. I had a couple. There was a razor blade in one. But I'm kidding. And some people do it up big time. They got the haunted house thing going on, you know. But increasingly, what's every year there's a problem? This year, they don't want to have it on Sunday because it desecrates Sunday for some God. I don't have any idea. As if that's what it's about. Like, I'm gonna worship Satan. That's what I want to do. I dressed up, when I was a kid for Halloween, you know what I dressed up as? Tom Sawyer. Yeah, that's why? Because I have a thing for Satan. Why else? Why wouldn't I dress up as Tom Sawyer? Or a hobo. Remember that? You get the hobo mask down at the supermarket, and the thing that would, like, you'd breathe into it, and the sweat would build up inside of it. And by the end of the night, you had, like, you broke out, and you're only five. And you're just drenched in sweat, your hair is matted, because you're wearing that hobo mask. And why do we wear hobo masks? Why do we dress as Cinderella and Tom Sawyer? Why do we go as a banana or the Fruit of the Loop pair of pants? Why? Because we're into Satan, that's why. Because Satan made us dress as a banana. Are you people serious? When's this going to end? We have no idea. I'll tell you what they're going to do, though. They'll just murder Halloween. It'll become illegal. Well, we can't have the kids out because that just constitutes a threat to their bodily functions, and you never know. Well, you mind if I just take a shot? I'll take my kid down there. No. No, you can't, man. Sorry, babe. Love you, babe. And it all started because some really screwy jackass put a razor blade in an apple once upon a time. And I'm sorry I ever did it. If I knew this was going to happen, I never would have done that. Anyway, that's going to be happening tonight. Tonight, Halloween? I wanted to mention Halloween is going to be a special night around here because we're going to do it. I might as well tell you. Stick around. Halloween night. Big announcement here for the Phil Henry Show. I will do a one-man performance of the classic 12 Angry Men. That's right. In surround sound.
Oh, Jesus.
What?
You're going to start fooling with that all night.
Fooling with what?
You're going to fool with a fireworks special effect, and you're going to wear it out before anybody really have a lot of fun with it.
Why don't you let me do the show, okay? Let me do it.
Yeah, but we just put it in.
We put in the fireworks sound effect thing for a lot of bit. Don't tell me what to do.
Oh, brother. It's going to be so tired.
Hey, look, man, I don't need you standing there giving me a hard time, okay? Yeah, David, I knew it, Floyd, wherever Bud is, you're there.
Well, I gotta call up because you're giving him a hard time. Now what's the problem? Don't you understand that we have a Americans with Disabilities Act thing that we gotta follow up? Every time you give that retard crap, I get another letter from the federal government.
Oh, bull crap. Are you
Well, I got a letter from a listener, which only means we're gonna get a letter from the federal government. If he says you're using that sound effects machine too much, you're using it too much. Oh, a wise guy, huh? Why did I just come in there and take it out?
Go ahead, I don't care.
Don't you hang up on...
What, is he back on? What do you want, David?
Look, I got a sound effects machine installed at my house. You want to hear it? Listen to this. Jackass.
What are you going to do? Beat the hell out of Halloween 2?
Get out of here, bud, before I hurt you and I hurt you bad. Get out of here.
Remember that stuff Trevor gave you to read? It's in a book.
Oh, yeah, I got to read this thing. Actually, I'm very happy to read this thing. Before I hurt you, get out of here.
I'm just standing at the door.
Go through the door and close it behind you.
Jackass.
This guy's got a lot of guts when he's walking out calling me that. I want to mention to you guys that we are involved here at the Phil Henry Show with something... Gee, this is great. Can I ask a question, if it's not too much? Can I get some kind of a copy stand in this studio so that when I go to read something, stuff doesn't fall all over the place? Get this jury-rigged jackass thing out of here. See that? Can't we put something right here?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Thank you. Clear Channel and the Premier Radio Networks have been the national media partners for Declare Yourself in a nonpartisan, nonprofit initiative to energize new voters. And I want to ask you guys, what are you doing on November the 2nd? Are you voting? You don't have to. And I know what my very good, close, personal Hollywood friend Matt Stone said when he said, look, if you're stupid, you're probably doing everybody a favor if you don't vote. And maybe he's right. I don't know. But I do know this. It's probably better if we all go out and vote than if we don't, because if you look at the voter turnout in this country as we go along through the years, it increasingly gets worse and worse and worse. Nobody even votes in these, like, these local elections because it's almost as if people are into this oligarchy thing. You know what that means, an oligarchy? Just a handful of powerful people. If you talk about the government amassing all this power and it being in the vested interests of corporations and the military, we only got ourselves to blame. You can't blame anybody but yourself. Participate in democracy by going to declareyourself.com, declareyourself.com, to find out about the candidates, the issues, the things you care about, the latest political news, and to find a polling place. That's right. If you don't know where to vote, you can go to declareyourself.com and find out where you can vote. You can also find out where you can register if you're not registered. Be sure to bring your identification with you, particularly if you're a first-time voter. Declare yourself on November 2nd and vote, okay? Premier Radio Networks is a national partner of Declare Yourself, a nonpartisan young voter campaign. Or as we like to say around here, you're listening to Clear Channel. From now on, that's going to be the idea around here, you know, because Clear Channel is like the evil incarnate of broadcasting.
Well, Clear Channel has so many radio stations.
Yeah, you bet we do. When I heard that guy Robbins last year, when he gave that Franklin Roosevelt Day of Infamy speech there in front of 85,000 microphones, and he said, Clear Channel this and Clear Channel that, who do you work for, Robbins? Sony? MGM? Whatever the hell else, man? What big freaking corporation, man, have you got your fists in? Clear Channel. I love working for Clear Channel, man. But when it comes to movies, you know, radio's heavy, man, but movies are heavy. Those guys have got more money. Man, I went to a party one time. I'll tell you about it. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Coming up this hour, Jeff Dowder on how to decide who to vote for. Later on in the show, Margaret Gray's Campaign 2004 report and Lloyd Bonafide, along with Rastafarian Radio on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
This is Clear Channel.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
We're joined by Jeff Dowder now. He is a professor of mechanical physics at Caltech University. He joins us on how to decide who to vote for in this 2004. Sounds like you're at the old batting cage, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm just taking some cuts right now. I'm on weekend softball team, so a lot of friends are out here.
What'd you say?
I'm on a weekend softball team, so a lot of my friends are taking a few cuts.
Taking a few cuts, huh?
Yeah. It's a good one, man. Keep your eye on it, okay? Get into it. You know, swing it. It's really interesting, Phil, before I get into what I'm talking about here. It's interesting. Do you play softball? Or are you at all interested in softball?
I'm not. I used to play softball. I don't play it anymore.
It's a really interesting game. There's a lot of rhythm to that. Nice one. Hey, Shorty. Look, you're going to reach for it. Can you hold on for a minute?
Go ahead.
If you're going to reach for it, okay, because the pitcher's coming outside in, okay, make sure you know what you're doing outside in. I really love the game because a lot of people think softball is something girls play, and, you know, I'm kind of, you know, of the mind that, you know, guys can play it too, and so.
You know, how come chicks play fast pitch and guys play that slow, loping stuff?
Well, it's just, you know, why do you ask?
Well, you guys are in a batting cage right now. How fast are those pitches coming at you? I mean, if you play softball.
Coming in about 20, 25 miles an hour. Why?
25 miles an hour?
Oh, well, okay. So does that mean I'm queer or something? Or?
No, I didn't say that at all, man. I'm just wondering about guys playing. Yeah, forget about it. Let's talk about this election, okay?
All right, good one. Yeah, just keep your eye on it. Move through the ball.
Can we get to this?
Hold on for a minute. Keep your eye, move through the ball, okay? See the ball, hit the ball, okay? Watch the ball into the glove, man. I always tell everybody that has ever been on a team of mine, you got to watch the ball into the glove. Whoa, heads up over there, man. Yeah, heads up. Okay.
Can we get on with this?
Hold on, I'm talking to a guy.
What? Can we do this thing, man?
Yeah, just hold on. Make sure you look. Heads up! Hey, man, that was Neil's truck. Yeah, that was his truck, yeah. That's bad. Look at that.
Hey!
Yeah?
You're on the radio with me, man.
Oh, okay, hold on. Okay, I'm sorry, Phil. I'm just, you know, we're getting ready for our regionals this weekend. And
yeah, the regionals.
All right. Anyway, we're talking about how to decide who to vote for. I'm really sorry, Phil. I think you're going to enjoy this. Here's my idea on how to decide who to vote for. Hello, everybody. I'm Jeff Dowder. The first thing... Whoa, heads up! The first...
Hey, man, why don't you move to a safer area, dude? If you're going to talk, be on the air. Do you understand what I'm saying here? I'm on over 100 radio stations nationally.
Heads up over there, man. Man, he just nailed some lady's car.
Aren't these guys hitting the ball at... Aren't they hitting the ball out into the field, or what are they doing?
They're getting a lot of foul balls. Whoa! Dude took a foul tip right off the Royal American. Are you all right, man? Damn! You okay? Hold on, Phil. It took a foul tip right. It was a direct hit, man, right off the scrotillion.
Oh, brother. You done, man?
Yeah, okay. Okay, this is Jeff Dowder. Hi, everybody. This is Jeff Dowder for Who to Vote For. You know, as we approach this 2004 election campaign season, it's mindful that you make sure you know who you want to vote for. Otherwise, you know, what's the point, right? Wow. Man, that almost hit me.
Would you move to an area where you can do this report without having to get out of the way of foul balls?
Okay, hold on. Okay, is this better?
I don't know, man. I don't know where you're standing.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Can you get hit with a ball over there?
I guess. I'm standing in the area that says if you park your car here, you park at your own risk. But that's just cars. That's not people. So,
just do it, will you?
Hi, everybody. I'm Jeff Dowder. Do you ever wonder who you want to vote for the year 2000? Well, here's what I would do if I were you. Look out.
Oh, man, I'm going to lose it here in a minute with this guy, Chris. If you don't, I'm going to put him on hold. And will you tell this guy to get his act together? I got to move this thing along, man. Next thing you know, I'm going to have Hall calling. That's all I know. Or Dickman's going to come through that door. And if he comes through that door, something bad's going to happen, and it ain't going to be to me. Is he back? Mr. Dowder, sir?
Yes, sir.
I have to tell you that if I hear you evade one more foul ball, I have to just conclude this report, okay?
Yes, sir, I understand that. Okay, I'm gonna go someplace where, if you could just put me on hold, okay? I'm going to go someplace where I can't get hit with balls.
Okay, thank you.
I'm awfully sorry, Mr. Henry.
Okay, great.
I'm very, very sorry.
That's fine. Just go somewhere, and I'll get you back on the air, okay?
Yes, sir, I will. Again, I'm just very, very sorry.
Shut him off. God, what is this, man? Am I jinxed? Yeah, David.
What are you doing now?
The guy was at a softball game or something.
Get these people. Don't you understand that we have a mission here to put a talk show on the air? What are you doing? You've been fooling around for 45 minutes.
No, I have not been fooling around. I've been talking to you.
Just get something on the air that I want to listen to, that anybody wants to listen to.
Right. We got this guy back. All right, Mr. Doubter, where are you now, sir?
Just over here. I'm just down at Corona Raceway.
You're down at Corona Raceway. How did you get down there?
You told me to go someplace, man, where I wouldn't get hit with foul balls.
So now you're standing near a racetrack?
Hey, man, you know, I don't need this, man. You know,
all right, do your fruity report.
Hi, everybody, it's Jeff Doubter, and welcome to Jeff Doubter, and what's it going to be like to, you know, to vote? One of the things that I want to really tell you about is the fact that all of this...
I can't hear him.
Other thing, too. Well, here's a really good idea.
Hi, can you hear him?
And that's Jeff Doubter with the report. What'd you think?
You there?
Yeah.
Are you done?
Yeah.
I couldn't hear anything, man, because there were race cars going by you. One minute you're at a ballpark, and the next minute you're near the Indy 500. How can I hear anything?
I did the whole report. You could have said something, man.
I was trying to, man, but funny thing, you couldn't hear me.
All right, man, I'll do it all over again.
Thank you.
They stopped the race anyway.
Good, go.
Hi, everybody, this is Jeff Doubter. You know, you've probably been wondering how you're going to be able to vote on the November the 2nd. What are you going to vote for? Well, I got a great idea. All I have to do is tell these people about the...
I can't hear this guy!
All that, and everything, too. This is Jeff Doubter reporting. Okay?
Yeah, that was great, man.
Did you like it?
Yeah, absolutely. It was terrific.
We're not laughing or anything.
No. It was funny. It was so funny. I'm stunned at the... it's great.
It really is.
Yeah, I'm just stunned at the writing more than anything. I was just kind of looking at it professionally.
Okay, man, thanks.
You bet.
Okay, you guys can start up again.
1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Coming up, Margaret Gray and her political report or something.
I can do it again if you want.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
In a few minutes, we have with us Margaret Gray with her campaign 2004 report. Also coming up, we have Lloyd Bonafide, who is a homeowner in a suburban area of Southern California, and he is not a fan of Halloween. We'll be talking with him about what to do during the night of Halloween, what he is going to do and what he's going to propose to do in any event. We also have Rastafarian Radio coming up here on the Phil Henry Show tonight with Terry McCoy, the white guy subbing for Big J, who always seems to be out with some kind of a cannabis-related illness. Don't forget, our website is www.philhenryshow.com. That's www.philhenryshow.com. If you want to get information about our show, if you don't know what the hell it is you're listening to, if you're frightened, if you're nervous, if you're scared, if you need someone to hold, if you need someone to hold you, go to our website, and we'll let you in on, you know, all manner of things there about the show and things that I think you... What are you doing, bud? Get out of here. I told you to.
No, just what do you think of my costume?
What do I think of your costume? Is that what you asked me? What I think of your costume?
Yeah, what do you think?
Look, all I see is you wearing a sheet with two holes in the for eyes. What's that supposed to be?
No, right in front of me.
The ghost of Dr. Laura's mom.
Yeah, what do you think?
All right, that does it.
What are you doing?
Come here.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
I'm going to sew you up in that thing is what I'm going to do. Get out the sewing machine, will you? Get out the sewing machine, Chris. I'm sewing you up and then I'm going to beat the hell out of you. The ghost of Dr. Laura's mom, huh? You think that's pretty funny? Here we go. There we go. Sew your ass up in it, Dickman. That's right. Just sew you right up in that thing. And then, when I'm all done with that, there we go. Now just vacuum off some of the lint that's on here. There we go. Yeah.
stairs. Throw them down there.
Is that still that ball game that's on? Get that guy out of here. Get him going.
Punk.
I'm going as Dr. Laura's mom, huh? Bill O'Reilly has scrapped his kids' books interviews. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, it doesn't look like a very good time to be promoting no kids' book. The more I hear about this story, and, you know, I will simply say this. It's a tough deal being a famous guy, I guess, and if you're famous, brother, you better keep your nose clean. Man, I don't care who it is you're talking to, you better be careful. You never know who's rolling tape. You never know who's going to be hard copying your emails. This is what you think, it's fun being famous? Apparently it ain't. Look at this guy. He had a series of phone conversations, as best as I can tell, and this is all speculation on my part, but I'm looking at what's been coming out in the press, and I'm trying to be as fair as I can toward Mr. O'Reilly, and what I'm getting is there was a series of phone conversations of some kind that probably were, I would have to say, that were probably consensual. And at some point, this chick went to him and said, "You want to know something? You've pissed me off. I think I'm going to go public with the phone conversations we've had." And he probably was very shocked and said, "What are you talking about? I'm a married man and I've got a kid." "I don't care," she says. "I don't care. You're bugging me. Your whole act is bugging me. Your forehead, the sheen on the top of your head, the whole thing. It's over. And I'm going to go public with all of this stuff, O'Reilly." "Well, you better not. You can't do it. You're going to ruin me. Why? This was it. I tell you what. Why don't you go ahead and you lay a couple of bucks on me? And I won't say jack. How dare you? I can't do that." Now, I read, and if I didn't read it properly, then I forgive me, but I did read after a couple of weeks of negotiations, and I read that on a Fox News site, I think. If he'd been negotiating this for 2 weeks, there was something going on there that he didn't want to have public. I don't know that it was sexual harassment. He describes it as extortion. And it most probably, well, I shouldn't say it most probably, it probably is. It probably was consensual. And the reason why he didn't want it to come out in public is because he is married. He does, I believe, have a family, and he is a man who has a certain stand. You know, like I'm telling you, when you put yourself up as the moral paragon, just like that Bennett guy, you know, that guy, one day he's talking about the moral fiber of America, and we're all, what are we doing? We're slouching toward Gomorrah, and the next day it's eight skate and donate. Daddy needs a new pair of shoes. Throwing a freaking bones up there in Vegas. Oh, yeah? Okay, thanks a lot, Bennett. Who do you guys think you are, anyway? I'm going to tell you something, right? I said it before, and I'll say it again. You want to know what the stake right through the heart of the Republican Party is? It's this idea that they've got some moral high road. Get off that kick and get off it fast, because you're going to, I swear to God, you're going to hang the president out to dry. He ain't going to win this election. Because some people think it's all about that gay rights amendment, or about that gay marriage amendment. That gay marriage amendment ain't going to pass, folks. There isn't a chance in hell that a gay marriage amendment's going to pass in the United States of America. I know the American people can make a lot of mistakes. That's one mistake they ain't going to make. They're not going to amend the Constitution to exclude a portion of the population from a basic human right that others have, equal protection under the law. It isn't going to happen in a million years. So if you're not voting for Bush because you're afraid of that amendment, forget it. It's not going to happen. I'll tell you why, any more than they, you know, when they were loading up the Supreme Court in 88 and they thought they were going to take away a woman's right to choose back in 1989, that never happened either. That ain't going to happen. Abortion's here to stay, just like gay people are here to stay, right? And if you're all wigging out about Bush because he's got some Bible thumpers have got his ear, don't worry about it. He's probably, you know, when it comes to that kind of stuff, he's probably got his head so far up his rear end he doesn't know what else is going on. But the fact of the matter remains that the alternative is a disaster. Bush is the only guy to vote for. Anyway, I digress. O'Reilly sits down with this chick and says, "Look, you can't go public with this stuff. You can't go public with this. This was consensual. What are you saying? Are you going to accuse me of sexually harassing you? Maybe. I got an attorney, and I did leave Fox." "Yeah, but you came back." "Well, I can say that I came back because you promised to stop harassing me." "Nobody's going to buy that I was harassing you. Nobody in a million." "Well, maybe they won't buy it, but they're still going to find out that you were talking dirty to me. And I got to find out all the details, too, unless you pay cash on a barrelhead right now, pal. I ain't going to do it. You can't extort that kind of money. All right, then I'm going to go public with it. By God, if you go public with it, I'll countersue for extortion. Okay, let the best woman man win. Boom, and that's where we are right now. So O'Reilly probably was talking dirty to this chick. He probably wasn't harassing her. She probably was consenting to this dirty talk. She decided to stick it to him for a couple of dollars. He didn't want her to go public with this. He's countersued for extortion. He probably can win that. But as far as his reputation goes, hey, you know, I don't even think his reputation is going to be all that damaged. You know, who cares? The guy's on freaking television. You think these guys, what is, you think he's a priest? This guy's a rabbi? Oh, my God, Bill O'Reilly, he's absolutely disappointed me. I never knew. I'm palpitating. He's just like, look at, if a priest can go, you know, if these priests can get into some of the dirty stuff they get into, what do you think O'Reilly's into? one 800 449 8686. Jay Santos joins us now. Sorry, Jay, went off on a tangent there, but I know you're going to be on our program tomorrow night. Margaret Gray coming up in a few minutes. How are you, Jay?
Well, I'm doing very, very well.
And Citizens Auxiliary Police gearing up here for the election month, but gearing up the elections, but also gearing up for school and so many other things, huh?
That is absolutely correct. Of course, we're going to be keeping an eye on all of that here in the neighborhood. We've had complaints. The Halloween coming, of course, you have usual pumpkin complaint when you try to get out there and do that.
What are the pumpkin complaints?
Well, it's just like you go out and take the pumpkin and kind of smash it on the ground. And, of course, that's something that's a red flag for us. So
that's a red flag when the kids throw the pumpkins?
Well, they go onto the property. What they do is they pick the pumpkin up and they smash on each other's head. They walk around with a pumpkin head or some kind of nonsense like that. That's all well and good. The fact is, if an elderly person sees that, if a person is faint of heart, has a heart condition, sees a kid going down the street, a large pumpkin head. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. In other words, a kid walking down the street with a large pumpkin on his head is going to freak out some old woman.
Absolutely. And, of course, we want to, we're out to save lives. So what we are, the first thing that we will be looking for, and I know you lied to law enforcement, is they'll be looking for any kid going down the street who has a head that's larger than his torso and is colored orange. Because that's a red flag for us that tells us perhaps, that's a pumpkin that he's pushed onto his head. That's not really his own head.
That's a red flag, huh?
Yeah.
A large head that's orange.
That's correct. Yeah. See, what are you talking about that?
Well, that's great, Jay.
Also, toilet paper in a tree, stuff in the windows, all kind of red flags. Because ordinarily, and you don't see that. Yeah. I know there's a lot of people who may not keep the most tidy home, but if you see a lot of toilet paper hanging off a tree, I'll go, wow, I don't think that's supposed to be there. So that's kind of stuff like that.
Well, real good, man. So we'll talk to you about all of that tomorrow night, huh?
That's correct.
I'll be looking out for those kids with big orange heads, too.
Well, like I said, it could be a pumpkin.
Yeah, it could be a pumpkin. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, Margaret Gray on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
You and I have a difference of opinion.
I'm sorry?
You and I have a difference of opinion on that. Margaret Gray joins us here. We're on the air now, Margaret, on our Campaign 2004 report. We're talking about reporting. I don't believe that reporters, and you are covering the campaign, specifically the Kerry campaign, should report and educate, as you say.
Oh, I absolutely, Phil. You need to understand that there is a moral obligation on the part of reporters not only to just report, but we also have to educate. Otherwise, we are not doing our jobs. And, you know, I've been in journalism a long time, and one thing I found out, we have an obligation to our readership and to our viewership.
I'm not a journalist. I'm a consumer of the news. But you know, I'm a consumer of the news that you people put out.
You people.
Well, you people, the journalists, okay?
Well, if we don't educate, how are people going to know that essentially John Kerry is the better man for the job? But the reason why George Bush is leading in the polls is because we haven't done a good enough job as reporters. Reporting that Kerry is really a better candidate than Bush. And,
well, Margaret.
No, here, let me give an example. I had a one, and the parents listening are going to appreciate this. Phil, I had a wonderful opportunity to address the seventh graders of Oak Lane Middle School in West Los Angeles, where my son attends. And as I was talking with the teacher, who is one of these very wonderfully dedicated educators that you just dream about, her name is Cheryl Godfrey. She is a middle school counselor there as well as a teacher. And as we were talking, I saw three of the students walk in, and one of them had a Bush Cheney bumper sticker on his binder, on these notebooks.
Right.
And this is where I realized, as a journalist, I can educate. And what I did was to make a really kind of a theatrical statement, because I haven't been on stage in years, but I did draw on the training that I've had. And as one of these students passed me by, now I want you to listen to this without judgment, because there's a moral to this story. I grabbed the binder out of his hand that had the Bush-Cheney bumper sticker on it. And that really got the attention of the students who were sitting there.
You grabbed his binder?
Yes, and Cheryl was watching this, this teacher. And I did something that was a little bit awkward because I was wearing this calf-length skirt, but I held the binder out in front of me, and I took two steps down the hall, and I kicked it right down the hall. And of course, you know, and I'm a little bit embarrassed because my skirt's flying up in the air and all of this, but I did this for a reason, Phil. And
you kicked this kid's binder.
I did this for a reason, and listen to me. I wanted to make a dramatic and educational statement. And
well, how is that educating anyone? It probably scared this kid.
Well, let me tell you what happened, because I walked into this classroom and I said to the children, all right, now everyone settle down, because they were all a little bit shocked. And I said to them, I said, what I just did to that young man's notebook, I know shocked you. But it's my way of saying that voting for George Bush is not an acceptable option if we hope to have a better country where, you know, films can be made and so on. In other words, Phil, I was there to not only report, I was there to educate. And that is something that's so key. And
look, I want to know, beyond the shock of the kid, how did this teacher and these children react? Because to me, it sounds like an act... Margaret, forgive me. It sounds like an act of personal vandalism.
No, not now. You're so wrong. This is a...
Well, it sounds like you take the kid's binder. It has a Bush Cheney sticker.
It had a George Bush sticker, yes.
And you kick it down the hall.
And I not only kicked it, but I made a very dramatic and a very theatrical move, drawing upon my years in the theater. It was almost as if it was performance art. And
you said your dress was flying up?
I was wearing a calf-length skirt. It was difficult, and my skirt rode up, yes. I want to concentrate, though, on the point here. And here is where you have to understand children. I'm a mother, and as I spoke with the students, and they asked me questions about reporting and educating, two very important things. You could see them beginning to understand, and I talked with Cheryl about this after class, and she said to me straight out, I would never think to do something like that. You could tell there was almost an envy in her voice. Now, this woman is an NEA Teacher of the Year Award winner, who was really just amazed at that one bit of theatricality on my part that perhaps would take her weeks of teaching.
So in reporting and educating, you're saying, vote for Kerry.
Well, that is part of the education. I don't understand your question. Are you asking me a question?
Suppose I was a reporter and I wanted to report and then educate people to vote for Bush.
Well, I don't know if you're trying to be funny.
No, I'm not trying to be funny. If I was a reporter and I wanted to educate kids to vote for Bush, suppose I saw you and I was you and I saw a kid come into the class with a Kerry sticker and I kicked it out of his hands.
Well, then that would be your right, which I suppose you have, but if I were the mother of that child, whose binder you did that to, I would file charges against you for child endangerment.
And well, then what's the difference?
I'm going to... Look, I was engaged in a theatrical demonstration that was a school lesson. It was not some thuggish, brutish manhandling of a child to get your kicks, to get your cheap thrills. I don't know where you want to go with this, but at this... The little boy who came into that class, his name was, I think, Jason something, his mother called the school, and I got her number, and I called her. And I told her I was engaged in a class lesson for the children on politics and reporting, and she apparently recognized my voice because she's heard me in a couple of TV interviews. And she was very sweet. She asked me for an autograph, and she understood. So, if you're looking for some comparison on the Bush side, there isn't one.
All right, Margaret Gray joins us on the Phil Henry Show. The question really here, though, Margaret, is reporters, should they educate? Or should they report? And our number is 1-800-449-8686.
They should do both.
All right. Well, I disagree. 1-800-449-8686. But in attempting to educate that class of kids, you took a binder out of a kid's hand and kicked it down a hallway.
Look, in the middle of a political campaign, when you are in the midst of reporting all of this minutia, and you're reporting all of these important things, you also have to recognize your own instincts as a human being. My instinct is to promote John Kerry. ABC News' instinct is to promote John Kerry. You call that non-objective. I call it educational. And you say I don't have the right to kick that binder down the hall. I can tell you, 3 weeks ago, we were in Boca Raton, Florida, and we were talking to a group of senior citizens. And they were waving their little Carrie Bush flags. And I said to them, I want to demonstrate something in reporting and education. And I walked among all of them, and I took these Carrie Bush flags out of their hands.
Just like you kicked that kid's binder.
You know, I don't know what your point is, but you're not letting me finish.
All right, but I mean...
You're not letting me finish, Phil.
All right, go ahead.
I took all of the Carrie Bush flags out of their hands. These are a group of senior citizens. And I said to them, now, I'm going to show you what your vote does when you vote for Bush and Cheney. Did I say vote Bush, Kerry?
You're saying, you mean to say Bush-Cheney, right?
Yes.
All right.
I took all the Bush-Cheney flags, and I said, I'm going to show you. And I got a metal waste paper basket, and I squirted lighter fluid into it, and I set fire to all the flags. I said, now, that's your vote, voting for Bush-Cheney. And you could tell that I was getting through to them, maybe for the first time in their lives. And these were all people well into their 70s. This is what I mean about educating and trying to get people to understand the truth, even as I report the news.
All right, so you've told me two instances. One, where you took a boy's binder out of his hands that had a Bush-Cheney bumper sticker on it. You kicked it down the hall. You made a point of saying your skirt rode up.
No, I don't want to focus.
Well, did you say you were wearing a skirt and you kicked this thing?
My skirt rode up, yes, because I had a call from one of the parents who said that her daughter said she saw, when I kicked this binder, she saw my undergarment. And I said to this mother, I said, you know what is really sad is that your daughter is looking for that instead of the lesson that I'm trying to teach. And I really excoriated this woman.
All right, well, in any event, you kick this kid's binder, then you go to a Boca Raton senior center, and you burn all the flags.
Absolutely. This is what we mean about education plus reporting. Setting fire to those Bush-Cheney flags, kicking that binder. This is a theatricality. And because I have a background in theater, I guess you can say I'm suited for a lot of this.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Brenda, go ahead. You're on the line with Margaret Gray.
I'm shocked at what I'm hearing. As a past educator of children, I felt it was my responsibility to be a leader and to set an example to children in good behavior. I was also brought up with really great manners, and I can't see how this has to do with good manners or good behavior or leadership. And
well, it's guerrilla theater. It was a theatrical statement for the children. It was a piece of performance art to make a point. You see, and so it kind of does transcend, perhaps, if you have a very traditional background in education.
I have a degree in media. Excuse me.
I'm a reporter, and I.
Yeah.
All right, well, can we have one person talk at a time? Go ahead, Brenda.
Yeah, I was just going to say,
well,
I have a degree in music.
I was making a point. I don't know.
I want the caller to talk, and then you may, Ms. Gray.
I am a trained educator, and I have a degree in music, and I felt it was my role as an educator to bring children up to be the very best human beings that they could be.
Absolutely.
I fail to see how your behavior is teaching that to the children. And I also look to journalists to give me the truth. And I'm not interested in them educating me. I want to hear the truth,
well,
and I want objectivity.
What part of my demonstration for the children was exhibited bad manners? I don't understand her point.
I think what you did, first of all, just taking the notebook away from the child was very rude.
Well, that wasn't because I wanted him not to have it. But I said, look, here's what I think.
That was his personal property.
Absolutely. But I said to this young boy in front of the class, so I said, here's what I think about you and Bush and Cheney. And I kicked it all the way down the hall, almost as if, I don't know if you follow football, but the men who kick the ball, I don't know what you call them.
Punters?
I'm sorry?
Punter, man, the punter?
Yes, I kicked it, and that's when my dress went up in the air, and this young lady complained to her mother. But I did say to the woman, you see what your daughter has been taught? To look at my underwear instead of the point that I'm trying to make.
All that I hear that you're trying to do is say that you're right and other people are wrong. And I disagree with you is that you have a right to your opinion, and that's our right in this country. It's a right to vote. It's a right to our opinion. It's a right to our thoughts. It's the
Absolutely.
Right to live
Absolutely.
Our lives the way we want to, but we don't have a right to impose those opinions on other people.
Well, I'm not. For instance, Brenda, if I saw you in a mall, and you had a Bush-Cheney sticker on, let's say, a knapsack you were wearing. I'm not saying don't vote for Bush and Cheney, but if I had the opportunity, I would make a guerrilla statement. If I had a felt pen, I'd go up behind you and I'd scratch out the name without you knowing.
Well, I think you're arrogant, and I think you're rude.
Well,
I think you have no right to do that.
How am I being rude?
Well,
I think you have no right to touch my property and to do anything to violate my property.
Well, I'm not violating your property. I'm simply making a statement
that
your vote for Bush and Cheney makes me nauseous, and I have to do something about that.
No, you just have to go vote.
Okay. Brenda, thank you. As an educator, I thank you for calling.
Can I make a point before Brenda goes? A National Education Association Teacher of the Year award winner was in that classroom today, and her jaw hit the floor. She was impressed.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray is with us. Is it the job of a reporter to report, or is it the job of a reporter to report and educate? In two instances, this reporter, covering the Kerry campaign, has seen Bush-Cheney stickers, and she's either, in the case of a young boy who had it on a binder, taken the binder away from the kid and kicked it down a school hallway, or in the case of Bush-Cheney flags that senior citizens had in Florida, she took them out of their hands, put them in a metal waste paper basket, and set fire to them as a way of, quote, doing performance art, guerrilla theater, and educating people as to a wasted vote. 1-800-449-8686. After all, we're just talking about bumper stickers. Is it really that important as personal property? Is it more important to make the statement? You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be back with journalist Margaret Gray in a moment.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Talk radio's speed trap. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Well, I just wonder where you draw the line when you're talking about the so-called guerrilla comment. You're a reporter. You're supposed to report. And
but I see it also as a job where I educate. And in this case, in this campaign, and ABC News is right with me on this, Phil, you know, it isn't that I'm doing anything.
Well, I know ABC had that memo leak that they are in favor of the Kerry campaign. And CNN the same, and CBS the same, and it's a disgrace, if you ask me, an utter disgrace that this information is leaked out, that these people are...
A disgrace?
Yes, a disgrace that these people are pushing an agenda of a candidate. They're supposed to be reporting objectively.
Well, Phil, that is where you don't understand journalism. It's to report and educate. I was in Logan, Utah, not two weeks ago, and there was a rally there for Bush and Cheney, a conservative students group. And I looked at this group of people, and we were in the student commissary, and there were condiments on the table, ketchup, mustard, and this sort of thing. And I walked right outside, and I took this bottle of ketchup, and there was a young lady speaking to a group of, I guess it was probably 50 students. And I squirted the ketchup and the mustard all over her blouse, and I said to her, this is not a personal attack. This is guerrilla theater aimed at getting the word out for Senator Kerry.
Did she kick your ass, Margaret?
How dare you use that language?
Well, you know something. You walk up to me with ketchup and mustard, and...
It was a performance... Do you understand the idea of theater?
I understand the art of theater, damaging personal property. 1-800-449-8686. Sharon, go ahead.
I really don't appreciate the language, though.
I'm sorry. Sharon, go ahead.
Yes, I was calling regarding the incident in the classroom with a student.
I can't
believe that someone would do that to a student.
I didn't do it to a student. I did it to his binder.
No, you did it to a student. It belonged to him.
I didn't kick him. I kicked his binder down the hall.
And it was his. It was his personal property.
Oh.
You
know what?
I
picked it up and I gave it back to him and I told the class, now do you see that? That's
that
what you're doing with your vote if you vote for Bush and Cheney.
No, that was an embarrassment for that child. He was embarrassed in front of all of his friends.
Well, you know, that's true.
And that is not No, that is true. And that is important.
Well, my skirt went up over my hips. Now, who do you think was embarrassed more?
I said to him,
you and I share an embarrassment here.
Oh, my God.
I'm not concerned about your embarrassment. I'm concerned about the position that you put that child into.
Well,
I am appalled that an adult would do that to a child.
Do you think he'll come back with a Bush Cheney sticker on his binder?
No. You know what? I think if I were him, I'd go out and vote for Bush Cheney just because you were so inappropriate.
Well, you probably would, Sharon, not knowing that you have to be 21 to vote. Wow.
You know what?
You're kidding, right?
All right. The lady's making a point that it would put, were he of age.
Well, were he of age, I'd do something else.
Well, you squirted ketchup and mustard over some lady, and you burned the flags of senior citizens.
So? So what?
And this is for dramatic effect because you have theatrical background.
I have trained with the Groundlings of Los Angeles, as well as Steppenwolf Theater in Chicago.
And that's
and there is a thing called
that does not
guerrilla
give you
theater.
The right. It does not give
and
you the right
well,
to abuse
Malkovich,
other people.
John Malkovich was in my class.
I don't care. You
oh,
have
you don't
no right to abuse children.
Sharon.
That's what you did. That you abused a child and you embarrassed that child in front of his peers.
Sharon,
and that
in a
is
way,
inappropriate.
You are like a blind woman and I'm trying to describe to you the taste of an apple. How do I do that? How do I describe to a blind person the taste of an apple?
A blind person can eat an apple.
All my life. And you do not embarrass and abuse children, and that's what you did.
Well, I'm just
I don't
not
care
as, just,
if you...
I'm just not as narrow
dramatic
as you.
Effect, whatever it is.
I'm just not as narrow-minded as you. I'm more... I go for the big picture. I go for the large statement.
I am pretty liberal.
And
I am pretty open-minded. But when you hurt children,
oh,
that's
I didn't
where I draw the line.
You know something?
Yes,
you know, you're getting dangerously close to calling me a child abuser, and I wouldn't go there if I were you, because...
You know what?
I
the fact that you were willing to
don't
be hurtful to
don't,
a child
don't do it.
Is not
I'm
right.
I'm a mother. I'm a mother. You're not.
Oh, yes,
all
I
right.
am.
No, you're not. You said you weren't.
I did not.
Yes,
I said
you,
I had...
You started out by saying, I don't have children.
I did
no,
not.
No, she did
that.
Not.
I believe she did.
I did
no,
not.
No, she didn't.
Well, yes, she did.
No.
No, she did not.
You know what? You're both liars.
I'm very sorry. I did not say that.
Have you ever had an abortion, yes or no?
Oh. Why would I need
well,
to that, do that?
Okay, right there, that tells me a lie.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Kicking binders down a hall with a Bush Cheney sticker, setting fire to a Bush flag, squirting ketchup and mustard over the blouse of a woman giving a pro-Bush speech. This is what Margaret Gray calls guerrilla tactics to endorse the Kerry campaign. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Right, hold on.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Just because John Kerry is down in the polls...
John Kerry is a man I think this country desperately needs. He is losing in the polls right now. And I think it's beholden upon any of us who are involved in the campaign of John Kerry to try and get people educated to him and his campaign.
Well, how are you going to educate people to his campaign? You told me during the break that you are doing donuts on people's front lawns.
I did on two front... You know something, Phil? Allow me to say it. Because
go ahead.
There are individuals who have these Bush-Cheney signs on their front lawns, and I have done what is called a donut. And for people who don't know what that is, it is driving the car onto the lawn and making a circular skid mark.
Now, you don't call that vandalism.
No, and I'll tell you why. I studied with Steppenwolf Theater in Chicago. Among my classmates was John Malkovich, Laurie Metcalf, Glenn Headley, Maurice Richard, and a number of other, Wes Parker, and a number of other actors whose specialty is guerrilla theater. You call it vandalism. I call it an artistic statement on behalf of a very vital candidate.
Tearing up my front lawn, doing donuts on it, and I guess the point is to destroy the sign?
Is to make the statement against Bush, yes, and in the process destroying the sign. And if you're saying that I'm vandalizing, vandalism is a crime.
Well, so is doing donuts on a guy's front lawn, whether or not you're making an artistic statement, okay? And to me, I don't know why you weren't even arrested.
Oh, boy. You really don't get it, do you? You really don't get it.
Well, I don't know what's to get.
You really don't get it, do you?
I don't know what's to get.
What's to get? This country is going down the toilet. That's what's to get. And you're worried about some guy's dichondra. Jesus!
Let me go over to Claire. Claire, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, this is Claire Langevin.
Go ahead, sir.
And I'm the father of four children and the grandfather of 10 children.
Well, which is
I've traveled in 40 different countries. I've been in 50 states, and I have never in my life heard anybody do something as outrageous as this lady has done. And
you,
I think
Gary.
That
vote
I would
John
ask Kerry. You to be quiet while I'm talking.
Well, what is outrageous about voting for John Kerry, for God's sake?
I'm asking you to be quiet while I talk. I've heard enough of your...
Listen, preacher, you're used to standing at the pulpit and not having people ask you questions. But I'll hit...
Don't call him preacher.
You don't have to listen to me.
Don't call him preacher, okay?
Well, I don't want the man to talk at me.
Well...
Talk to me. Don't talk at me.
Okay, I'll talk to you, ma'am.
Thank you.
You have a right to your opinion if you want to vote for John Kerry. But you do not have a right... to go out and destroy other people's property, and you do not have a right to go out and humiliate people. You do not have a right to go out and burn up old people's flags. That is totally ridiculous. I don't care if you call it theater. I don't care if you call it art. It's a bunch of vandalism.
So you're against
the
art.
Law, and you should be put in jail for your behavior.
You're against
I've
art.
Never in my life, and that's the trouble with people like you who think they've got to force their opinions on other people. So
wait, hold on. Claire, hold on. What are you listening to?
I'm getting
news.
Not you, Claire, not you. Margaret, what are you listening to?
I'm listening to Al Jazeera.
Would you please turn it down?
I didn't know it was that loud, Phil. I'm sorry.
You're listening to Al Jazeera while you're on the air with me?
I'm trying to get the truth, Phil. And
Al Jazeera's got the truth, huh?
Oh, here we go with your Bush. Here we go. Here we go with your right-wing speech, huh?
Go ahead, Claire.
I just feel that this woman is totally outrageous. I'm surprised she's not in jail, because if I would go out and do the things that she's done, I don't care if I would call it art.
Well,
I don't
what did
care
I do?
If I would call it my years of training.
What did
I'm
I do?
Also an educator, and we in any country I've ever been in, if somebody would do what you did, they'd be put in jail.
Well, specifically, what did I do that you find fault with?
First of all, you're trying to impose your opinion on somebody else. You have a right to your opinion. You can go to the polls and vote for John Kerry. But we, who don't feel like you do, have a right to vote for who we want to, and we don't appreciate, nor is it lawful for you to try to force us to change our minds.
I didn't try to force anybody to vote. I simply drove my car across someone's front lawn.
And that is illegal, man. If you drive your car across my front lawn, I would call the police. Or I'd be out there with my gun and shoot your tires out. That's what I'd do.
Oh, my God. Here we go with this pro-gun lobby. I love it. You know...
Pro-gun lobby? The man's talking about protecting his property.
Oh, my... It's a... I studied
my property
with,
is more
I
important
studied
than
with
your,
Maurice the Rucker Bouchard,
travel.
Wes Parker, and Ron Fairley at the Steppenwolf Theater in Chicago. Along with Laurie Metcalf, Glenn Headley, and Prince Stewart.
I could care less about your education.
I know.
I'm educated, too. And you do not have the right
well,
to go around
what?
Destroying other people's property.
Well, you know what? With a name like Claire, you probably bring out a water gun. So what do you think of that?
Oh, isn't that adult? Isn't that adult?
Well, he's giving me a hard time.
Well, you ought to be having
well,
a hard time, ma'am.
I
mean, I can't believe that they even let you appear on a talk show.
Because this is still America, the last time I checked. And if I want...
You know what? I got to tell you something, Claire, because I read about some of this woman's exploits, and...
Are you speaking about being the third person?
I would ask you to just hold on. At a Bush-Cheney rally in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, where they were selling some Bush-Cheney bumper stickers, Ms. Gray, did you relieve yourself on a stack of Bush-Cheney bumper stickers?
It was an artistic statement.
Boy.
That is not artistic, ma'am. That is plain vulgarity.
To you,
and
you're going to judge me now? You're
I don't care
me.
What you call it. By a normal American standards, that is obscene and vulgar, and you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
It's in the greatest tradition of Jonathan Swift. Of
I don't,
oh, don't start
Jonathan
bringing up
Swift
Jonathan
is.
Swift. Jonathan Swift was a satirist, and he was a brilliant one. You calling yourself Jonathan Swift?
I think we have something in common.
I don't think he was vulgar like
apparently,
you are.
Apparently, Ms. Gray, according to the New York Times, you also used a Bush bumper sticker to wax your bikini area, right?
Yes.
Like I said, you're very vulgar, you're very obscene, and you should be ashamed of yourself.
Oh, I needed a wax. What's wrong with that?
You're a disgrace to the feminine race.
To the feminine race?
Yeah.
Claire, at least I've got the name Margaret, which fits me. Claire is the name of a song by Gilbert O'Sullivan about a woman who went to the top of a bell tower and stretched her neck because of some bad, bad love affair. Now,
well, there's a lot of people by the name of Claire, and
yes,
I don't
and
even know what your name is.
And they all wear something once a month that's absorbent.
Your name that did something that was not appropriate.
Were you named after the man on the Mom on the Cosby Show?
All right, listen, Claire, thank you very much. Let me go over here to Tobin. Tobin, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
How you doing?
Fine.
For what I've listened to, I believe that the next step for this lady should be the white coats come after. Because, you know, everybody has a right as far as what they believe
in. Well, surely you understand. Tobin, you must understand me. You're an African-American. You must understand the need to...
You think I'm African? I don't think so. I don't quite think so. Anyways... what this bushwhacker needs to be done is, if I were to see her, I would pop out her windshields and ask her if she thinks that's wrong or not. Because my belief...
Well, I'll tell you
this.
If you're not black, then you're an Eskimo. So which is it?
I'm not. Sorry.
You're not an Eskimo. You're not an Aleut.
No, I'm a white American Indian.
Well, you're an Aleut.
Well, regardless of what I am...
No, I just want to try. Are you a Ute?
I just know one thing.
Are you a Ute or an Aleut?
Forget about whether he's a Ute.
Well, where's he calling from?
Go ahead, Tobin. I'm very sorry, sir.
I believe that everybody has a right of opinion, but when you start destroying other people's properties...
Absolutely.
...and disgracing other people's beliefs, because everybody has the same beliefs in what they believe in, and if someone's going to terrorize and discontinue...
I totally agree with that. I couldn't agree more, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. Urinating on the bumper stickers and so forth to show that Bush can't terrorize them.
Why don't you need to put the bumper stickers on your cars and start wiping them off with your body on your own vehicles, not other people's.
Wait a minute. I'm supposed to put a Bush Cheney bumper sticker on my car and then wipe my body off with it?
Sure. You can put pencil marks on it, put mustaches, anything you want on it, but consider it yours. But if it's in somebody else's, you have no right to touch it.
You're not Octoroon or anything like that.
Would you get off of what he is and listen to what the man's saying?
You know, when I asked him, are you a Ute, you're supposed to say, what's a Ute? Just like Fred, what's his name, in my cousin Vinny.
Well, anyway.
All right, Tobin, yeah, thanks a lot.
Tobin, let's forget about the crazy woman on the phone.
Well, frankly, ma'am, you're acting like a real lunatic. And this gentleman is saying what the rest of us have been saying. This is private property, a little boy's binder, a stack of bumper stickers, old people with flags, a woman giving a speech at a rally. You've squirted mustard, you've relieved yourself, you have thrown the bumper down the hallway, and you've set fire to things. And, not to mention a fact, doing donuts on a guy's front lawn because he has a Bush Cheney sign, and you call all of that an artistic statement.
Hello, is Tobin there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, Tobin, I just heard something. Are you all right?
I'm all left.
You're what?
I'm all left.
Listen, jackass, I'm trying to find out if you're okay. No, I'm sorry. Are you all right?
I'm perfect.
Okay.
What are you doing?
I'm in the can.
Well, then we're just going to put her on hold for the time being. And I think, should we be talking about Fred Gwynn? Is that it, Fred Gwynn from My Cousin Vinny? What's a Ute? Margaret Gray with her campaign 2004 report reflecting just exactly what is going on with the,
Yes? Anyway, so I...
Hang up on her. Just a great reflection of how nasty this campaign's getting. It's getting nasty, nasty, nasty. And I can only tell you that, at least from my standpoint, I don't think that there is any... Will you put her on hold?
Oh, boy.
That this campaign is as nasty as I've seen. As nasty as I've seen. People doing donuts on front lawns, busting into campaign headquarters. Every kind of unimaginable and imaginable thing. And why? I'll tell you why. Because we've lost our sensibility as a nation. Because
we are trying...
Did you say something? 1-800-449-8686, world famous Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, pure exhibitionism. The Phil Henry Show is back.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Jerry Poobah with Beethoven's Fifth. Jerry?
Thank you.
Program made possible by a grant from the Mobile Corporation. So that's pretty funny. 1-800-449-8686. Let me get on the line here. Jerry. Hi, Jerry. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Is it going, Jerry?
Phil?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got a problem, and I thought maybe you'd help me with it. I just got off work and I'm a little bit hungover, so my wife left me here with our son and I'm trying to diaper him and I'm not doing too good and thought maybe give me a hand with this.
You're hungover? You just got off work?
Yeah, I had a long day and I drank till about 3 a.m. Oh boy, I don't know.
Well, what are you doing, man?
Well, I'm trying to get a diaper on him here, but keep sticking him with his safety pins, so.
Is that why he's crying?
Huh?
Is that why he's crying?
I guess so. I got a pin hanging right out of him right now. There's about 3 pins hanging out of him.
Get the pins out of him, you jackass!
All right, so God.
Okay, you got the pins out of him?
Yeah.
I don't know how to diaper a kid.
Thanks a lot. I'm just going to stick it back in there.
Get the... All right, our flashback, Vernon Dozier. Will you get these people off the phone? Vernon Dozier is with us from last night talking about mock elections, telling his black students to vote for Kerry because that's who they're supposed to vote for.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I have to make a point that teachers shouldn't be changing the vote for a student, or teachers shouldn't be telling them what they should do. It's the student's choice to choose what they should do or not. They should learn from their mistakes.
You're Asian, so I'm not talking about your people. Your people vote pretty much about, you know, all the way across the board. I'm just talking about a lot of the black kids, that's all.
It doesn't matter. We are talking about student-teacher relationship here. We are not talking about African-American or Asian or doesn't matter. Teacher has no right to tell students you shouldn't be voting for this person or this. You have every right to direct somebody to write direction that way. You should be doing this or you shouldn't be doing that, but you shouldn't be telling them, change your vote to Democrat. And I'm a fan of Kerry.
I got to tell you, Fomi, you know, I know you don't mean anything by this, but you sound just like a lot of these parents that call up and go crazy on me. You know, you sound like a lot of the black parents call, boy, you can't do this, can't do that. Look, let me just say.
Are you a parent, Fomi?
No, I don't have any kids.
Okay.
All right, let me just say this.
But...
The job of a teacher.
My parents were teachers.
Okay, but the job of a teacher is to educate, not necessarily let kids do whatever they want to do. You let kids do whatever they want to do, and they're smoking, you know, you got crack. They're smoking crack in the bathroom and having, you know, premarital sex all over the place. You can't do that. You have to guide young people. And when it comes to racial sensitivity, when you get a black kid in your class, man, you better watch your step.
I've been listening to your show for at least this past 15 minutes.
Yes, ma'am.
You said you told black students change their vote to Kerry.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
And I do not agree with you that part. Yes, when they do the wrong thing, you have every right to punish them and tell them that, wait a minute, this is the wrong thing you're doing. this is not what you're supposed to be doing. This is what you should be doing. But you can't stop them. They're going to go outside and do it.
Yeah, but the kids
they're
are going to
go drugs
look,
outside
gonna, when
and
they,
do it.
When they get to be older, Bomi, these black kids are going to be expected to vote for Democrats. I'm not doing them any favor by giving them the illusion that they're going to vote for Republicans.
You know what? You are not giving them chance to write. You,
why not let them decide for themselves?
Make their own decisions.
Can I ask you a question,
Bomi?
Are
you have no right to change that decision.
Are you Indian?
You have a right
deal?
To guide them in a direction
yeah.
where... They should go, but
yeah.
you have no right to tell them you should vote for Kerry.
I just
that
got
is
the
right.
Yeah, I just got the accent. You're a Hindu or a deal like that, right?
Yes, I
yeah,
am
okay.
Hindu.
Now, the Hindu folks, who knows who they're voting for, right? But the black kids, when they get to be adults,
right.
they're going to have people saying, "Okay, let's go. You're voting Democrat." Now, what's going to happen to me if somebody finds out that that kid was in my class and he's voting Republican? I'll tell you what happens to me. You know, the equivalent, the figurative equivalent of being pinned down in a holding tank. And I don't need that. You don't need that.
You know what? Right now,
right.
you're scaring me. I don't even want to say, if I ever have a kid, I don't want my kids in your class.
Ma'am, I'm trying to get your
really
kids to do what you...
Have. I wouldn't have my kids in your class because you are not a good teacher. My
well, I don't know how a Hindu
my
can tell me that.
Teacher.
Well, you know, Bomi, I agree with you. This is Phil Hendry. I think that young people...
Well, Mr. Hendry, I didn't come on your program to be ganged up on.
Well, no. But we're just saying that young people should be encouraged to think for themselves while you want to make sure that you stay on the proper side of their parents. By the same token, when push comes to shove, I would think the student wins, not the parent.
Oh, no. You don't know anything about educating. Let me tell you what. You get these parents angry at you, they'll go wild all over you, especially these black...
one 800 449 8686. And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
Okay, why don't you repeat what you were just saying to me off the air? And your name is Lloyd?
Yes, that's right.
All right, Lloyd, and tell my audience, if you wouldn't mind, what you were just talking to me about.
Well, I put in a call to the city of Alhambra. I called Bill Cooley, who's our representative here in District 29. And I spoke with a lady there, and everyone seems to have their hands tied on the issue.
What is your concern?
My concern is simply the fact that I do not wish to have children on my property on that evening.
All right, you don't want kids trick-or-treating on your property on Halloween?
No, sir, and let me tell you what. You know, because people use this as an excuse, to say that you don't like children. Let me tell you what. I have a daughter and a grandchild that I love very much. We simply do not wish to have these children on our property. And I said to a person in Chad Gilmore's office that if the city refuses to assist a homeowner and if our representative in the state assembly refuses, then I told him that I've got every right to discourage it, which includes, it's not discredited, but that would include, either giving out apples with razor blades in them or putting lye in the candy.
See, that's what I heard you say, putting apples with razor blades in them, right? This is going to seriously injure...
Well, let me explain to you, Mr. Hendry.
Seriously injure any child who bites into these candies or these apples you give out, and they are the ones that are the innocents here.
Let me tell you what. I fought for this country 54 years ago at a place called Korea.
I understand that, sir.
Well, I don't think you understand. And for anyone to suggest that I would willingly hurt a child for cheap kicks... or to get my cheap thrills, completely misses the point.
By putting razor blades into apples and to put lye into taffy candy, that is who you are going to hurt.
Well, Mr. Hendry, I suggest you go to the emergency room where those children are going to be after biting into one of those apples and explain to them that they are having the roofs of their mouths sutured because the municipalities involved refuse to do anything about minor children entering property where they have no legal right to be. Now, you ask me, or you could ask the millions of senior citizens who've been vandalized and so forth.
Why not put up no trespassing signs? Why not turn out the lights? You know, why not?
Well, I've done all of that, and of course, I shouldn't have to, but you see, they vandalize and so forth. If the lights are out...
And let me tell you what, I had one group of young men, and I would say they were around 16 or 17. I told them to get the hell off my property 2 years ago, and of course this is where they pull their pants down and so forth.
Yeah.
Well,
sorry, so the answer to the problem is to hand out candies or treats that can injure kids.
Well, first of all, a shit razor blade and an apple, because I looked into it, isn't going to do anything more than slice the roof of the mouth and so forth. But it sends a message to the parents of the children that they need to take responsibility for the children coming onto anyone's property. And you could go to the city, and you can talk to anybody in Chad Gilmore's office, and I spoke to his press secretary, and they'll tell you that you have a right to the security of your property. Now, according to...
Well, let me tell you, you can be arrested. If this is a serious problem, you can people can arrest, you know, you can go to jail for putting razor blades into...
No, not according to what I read. I'm a homeowner exercising that. Additionally, I want to tell you, I'd like to see the look on any cop's face that's going to arrest an American combat veteran for protecting his property rights. It'll be a low point in the life of that officer, I can tell you what.
But you will be arrested, sir. Hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Chris started talking to this gentleman by the name of Mr. Bonafide. He doesn't want kids on his property at Halloween. It's as simple as that. He's tried putting up no trespassing. He's tried turning out the lights. They don't stay off the property. They also, I guess they're TPing his trees and stuff, Chris. He says he has no alternative than to give out Halloween candy with, like, apples with razor blades in them to keep the kids off of his property. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Sir, I just put you on hold for a minute because I wanted to give out our phone number.
I'm sorry?
I put you on hold for a minute because I wanted to give out our phone number. What is the thing about kids on your property at Halloween? Why don't you appreciate the children coming around?
Well, first of all, it happens to be that we had a property dispute over here. I had a property dispute with the neighbor to the east of me. And I told him at that time that I didn't want these trick-or-treaters coming onto my property for liability reasons. And at that time, he and I got into a legal situation, so I went to the city and I said to them, I don't want trick-or-treaters on my property. And the city hasn't done a thing. Now, I said, well...
Can't you put up a gate?
At the city's expense, yes, sir, I will.
You want the city to build you a gate?
Absolutely, yes, sir. They put up a wall around my property. Otherwise, on Halloween night, my home will be lit up. I'll have jack-o'-lanterns out front, and I'll get all dressed up in a Chinaman outfit or whatever they want me to do, and I am left with no alternative than to give out apples laced with razor blades. And this is what has come of a life where I serve my country in Korea.
Well, you say you have no alternative but to give kids apples laced with razor blades, but you are injuring the kids.
Well, let me tell you, they throw eggs at the house, they put the dog stuff in a paper bag on my porch. And last year they lit the paper bag, they had dog droppings.
Okay, and I know, and it was on fire.
Yes, sir, and you go out and you stamp it out with your foot, and this is funny to them. And I was in bare feet at the time. So.
All right, so you stamped it at the fire, you got dog dew on your foot.
Well, you say that as if that's no big thing.
Well, do you honestly believe, sir, that stamping out dog dew is as bad as a kid with a razor blade in an apple biting into it?
I'm telling you, I give as good as I get. That's all I'm saying. And it's not that I want to do it, but the city and the state assembly and the representative, I talked to John Cooley. John Cooley, the 29th district, is my representative. I can't get a call back. So come Halloween night, let me tell you what, all bets are off.
You called up the show, why?
I'm sorry, sir?
Why did you call my show?
Because I am trying to get a voice. What do you mean, why did I call your show?
Why did you call my show? You got your mind made up to give out apples with razor blades in them.
I'm calling your program to tell other senior citizens and other homeowners who are sick and tired of this, the Halloween situation, that the way to get the problem solved is to you get these Washington Delicious apples, and you get the Schick razor blade. You sink it in about an inch deep.
Man, I'm telling you.
Well, don't look at me. I'm a Korean War veteran, and I went everywhere that I could.
1-800-449-8686. Jenny, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Your name's Lloyd?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Jenny.
Hi, Lloyd. I'm a mother of three daughters. My children are 15, 13, and 7. My 7-year-old still trick-or-treat. I can promise you, my 7-year-old little girl in her kangaroo costume is not any threat to you as a combat veteran or a homeowner. If you do not want her trick-or-treating at your house, I ask you, you simply just don't put your porch light on, and you certainly don't put a pumpkin on your porch with a candle in it.
I've done that, and they still come on the property.
I can understand your anger towards people that might be vandalizing your property. I understand that.
That's what I'm talking about.
But for you to say that it's okay to give a child, and let me tell you, most trick-or-treaters are 10 or under. If you're going to give a child, a little girl, a little boy, a child, an apple with a razor blade in it, you should be in jail. And let me tell you,
you're wrong.
Because
I had these teenage boys come on my property, drop their pants, and so forth. That's not a 10-year-old girl.
My little 7-year-old girl is not going to drop her drawers, but this is a time-honored event to go trick-or-treating.
Absolutely.
She is going to go trick-or-treating to around homes in our neighborhood. She's only going to go to the homes that are welcoming and want trick-or-treaters.
Well,
but if my little girl ever got an apple from somebody with a razor blade in it, you can bet that there would be hell to pay, and you would spend the rest of your life as a combat veteran or a homeowner or whoever the hell you are in jail.
She's got it coming because of all the years that...
No, wait a minute. This woman's daughter doesn't have it coming.
Well, it's out of my hands is what I'm saying to you. I don't want to hurt any little kid.
If your hand is a razor blade inside an apple and you drop it into my 7-year-old daughter's bag,
how do I know she's not toilet paper in a tree or this kind of nonsense?
She's
how many 7-year-olds, Lloyd, do you see TP in people's neighborhoods?
I stay clear of that kind of element. I don't know. But I'm simply saying, as a combat veteran from Korea and a property owner, I went to my congressman and my assemblyman. And I said, okay, it's on your conscience that I'm dropping Schick into a Washington Delicious.
Right.
On whose conscience?
On my state assemblyman, Bill Wellington.
Well, this lady, what I would say, Jenny, is you stay away from any house that's dark. And is your house going to be dark this Halloween?
No, my house
isn't.
Absolutely.
I would like to know where Lloyd lives. What state does he live in?
I live in the state of California, ma'am. I've been a property. And let me tell you the property.
Lloyd, whether you are a property owner or a combat veteran is absolutely irrelevant. I could give it. You are a combat veteran or a
renter. Let me tell you what, I put down a few Chinese for you, Jenny, so your little kangaroo could go out and toilet paper up a house.
Her little daughter is...
Because of that, Lloyd, then it's perfectly fine for you to drop a razor blade into an apple and stick it in her bag, because you put your life at risk.
Look, you keep her the
it's
hell
okay
off my property. You keep her the hell off my property.
My child, that's okay.
You keep that
my
kid off my property.
All right, look at
you
Lloyd.
My child would never go on your property. If your home was not welcoming trick-or-treaters,
right,
my child would never come on your property.
Right. Well, see, this just goes to show you that even if the home is welcoming trick-or-treaters, this is the kind of sickness...
Hold on. You're calling me sick.
Yeah, I'm calling you sick. For the thing...
I'm a Korean War combat veteran.
I love how he wears that label.
Well, now, how do you like that? There you are, sitting there in your nice suburban bourgeois life, and I went out and I saw guys get wasted so your little kid could run around and get a mouth full of chocolate and everything else. And you better check your kangaroo kid.
You are speaking to a Navy wife. You are speaking to a Navy wife. My husband currently is in the U.S. Navy.
Let me tell you what. You better check the kangaroo's candy apples, Jenny.
All right, look at Jenny. Thank you for your call. Stay away from houses that are not open to children. And Mr. Bonafide's main problem is that he doesn't want trick-or-treaters on his property. He's tried to keep them up by not lighting his porch light and by not putting out jack-o'-lanterns. It hasn't helped. His property at times has been, as is often the case, tricked with the Halloween toilet papering and so on, and you know, the lit bag of dog crap and so on and so forth. He says all bets are off. He says it's out of his hands now. He's going to be dropping apples with razor blades in them into Halloween bags this year. Is it his fault, or is it our elected representatives? 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Stepping over the line, naked. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm joined by a gentleman who called our talk line, Lloyd Bonafide. This man is a Korean War veteran, and I understand that, sir, and I don't disrespect that. You're talking about putting razor blades in apples to keep kids from coming on your property. You haven't been able to keep them off of your property. You say that you've talked to the city.
Well, and that's my whole point. I've talked to everybody, and now everybody's talking to me like I'm some kind of a bad guy. And what am I supposed to do about it? I've got no choice. I got to go out tomorrow. And my wife and I are going down to Whole Foods, which is where we like to shop, and I've got to price Macintosh apples and get a price on razor blades because it's out of my hands now.
But the fact that you're going down to price apples and razor blades, man, I mean...
I will tell you, Mr. Hendry, that what you read in the Alhambra newspaper...
Well, in the Alhambra newspaper, you accosted a woman last week in a grocery store there who was buying toilet paper.
Yes, sir, that is correct.
Why?
You see, you want it both ways. You don't want me to put razor blades in apples, but you want people to go out and buy toilet paper a week before Halloween, and all of a sudden it's my fault?
Well, you told us you grabbed the toilet paper out of her hand. Somebody said you grabbed her by her blouse and pushed her up against the display. And
I said to the woman, you know, you're not...
What did you do?
I said to her, what's with the toilet paper? And she said, well, let me tell you something right now. And I had a handful of her shirt, and I said, I'll tell you something right now. If that goes on my house, I got and I told her, I said, I got a bag of Macintosh, and I got razor blades all set to go. Now,
Mr. Bonafide, I want you to hold on, and I want you to think about what you say, because some of the things you are saying here are downright scary. You're pinning people up against display counters in supermarkets because they're buying toilet paper, and you're dropping razor blades into freaking Macintosh apples. You got to go out tomorrow and price a pound of them.
Yes, sir, I do. And I don't make any apologies.
1-800-449-8686. Casey, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, I was just wanting to tell this man that as a veteran myself, I am completely ashamed of how you are talking.
What are you talking about? How can you be a veteran and talk like that?
I am a veteran, and my son, his grandfather was a Korean War veteran. He got his legs blown off. He's got 3 Purple Hearts from the Korean War, and I can guarantee you that if he was still alive today, he would not do this, and it's probably because you are such a crazy citizen. You probably made everybody mad, and I'm praying that there's somebody out there over the regulation listening to what you are saying, and they're tracing your call. They're going to find out where you live, and I hope they send somebody up there, and you give them an apple, and they come and arrest you for an attempted murder.
So your father was a hero type, huh? Let me tell you something. My son was in Vietnam, and he was a hero type, and he got his head blown off. That's what happened to my son in Vietnam. He was an idiot like your old man.
That makes me want to go and stick razor blades in the kids' apples. I have a 19-month-old son that I'm going to be taking out trick-or-treating, and I pray to God that there's nobody else on this earth that acts the way you do.
And what if your son,
you ever heard of one bad apple don't spoil the whole bunch? Well, yeah, there's a couple of bad apples out there. Their parents probably don't know where they're at half the time.
You bet there's a bad apple out there, and I'm going to be serving it up on Halloween night.
Hold on, hold on, hold on. Everybody, hold on, everybody.
Or taping in your yard does not give you the right to harm innocent
all right.
kids.
Now, let me jump in.
And let me tell you one more thing.
Let me jump in.
If you are so hated
you
in your neighborhood,
your 19-month-old son, if you start soap washing my car or toilet paper in my house, then what am I supposed to do?
You say well, I'll tell you what you're supposed to do, sir. I'll tell you what you're supposed to do. They're probably doing it because you're the kind of person that you are. You need to find you somewhere else to live, out away from nobody else, so no, you don't have to interact with
wait
other people.
Wait a minute. I know what you are. I used to laugh at guys like you in the Navy.
Because it might
to
end
get
up
these
on
guys
your yard.
Up from Lake Charles, Louisiana, never been on a boat before. I bet you you're one of those type, right? Where are you from, anyway?
We used to get these kids. East Tennessee. Sir.
Oh, God. I
and
knew
I've
it.
Had my yard
we
full
used
of
to
paper.
Get these.
All right, hold
I've
on, hold on, everybody.
Eggs.
You know
so
something?
Why? I don't
you say
know
you're going out with,
hold on.
Children.
You go out with a 19-month-old son and he starts toilet paper in my house, then what do I do?
How does
yes,
a 19-month-old
son, sir, is going to throw a roll of toilet paper up in your tree? I hope to hell somebody's out there listening to you and they trace where you live.
Man,
and they come and get you, buddy.
Tomorrow morning, I'm going over to Whole Foods and I'm pricing McIntosh.
It won't be a low day on a police officer's day. It'll be a high day in heaven when you are gone and put out.
Hold on, everybody. I got to jump in here, okay?
Mr. Henry,
hold on. I want to jump in here now. Now, I haven't been able to hear a lot because you guys
send
are talking.
Somebody to take care of it.
Hold on, ma'am. I've got a lot of people talking here and I want to. Now, Mr. Bonafide, the lady here is talking about...
Listen to her laugh. She thinks it's funny that her kid is going to toilet paper my house.
My son is 19 months old.
I
he
don't give a sweet Jesus how old he is. And I'll
and
tell you something else.
Neither is any kid under 10.
And look at you. Your kid is 19 months old and he's going to how old is he? 19 years old or 19 months
19
old?
19 months.
Well, I don't give a sweet Jesus. He's going to be the kind of guy that's going to take out my...
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Hey, Jack Ball, it's entertainment. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Talking with Mr. Lloyd Bonafide, a homeowner. You want to question people, and you have questioned people as they're exiting grocery stores in the area around where you live who've purchased toilet paper, correct?
That is correct, yes, sir.
Why?
I don't know where you live, Mr. Henry, but...
I live where you live, sir. I live in America, but why are you stopping people and questioning them? You're not a police officer.
Let me tell you what. You know, you're coming out of a supermarket in a quarter mile square area around where I live, and you got toilet paper. I have every right in the world to ask you what you're doing with that toilet paper and what do you think you're doing anyway. Because if that winds up on one of my trees, mister, I feel sorry for you.
And you're dropping razor blades into apples. Why hurt the kids?
It's out of my hands.
Why hurt the kids?
It's out of my hands. I tried, but it's out of my hands.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Go to Julia. Julia, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Julia. You're on the air.
Hello, sir. I'd like to tell you, before we start this, that my dad was a veteran from Korea.
So God bless you. I understand
where you're going.
Yes, God bless you.
All right, and the thing is if you want these kids to sell your yard, if we have to, we will get enough money to build a fence around your yard to keep these kids away from you.
Well, that's what I asked the city to do, but they told me...
Well, we're not talking about the city. I'm talking about the American public. If that's what we need to do to keep you from hurting the children, that's what we will do. There is no reason for the children to be hurt under any circumstance.
Well,
they are innocent people.
That's why my option was to check, to ask, are you buying toilet paper?
I buy toilet paper because I have two bathrooms. We use it.
Well, what are you using it for, though?
Because
we go to the bathroom,
well,
sir.
Yes, ma'am.
Can't use newspaper. It stops up the toilet.
Ma'am,
we don't have outdoor plumbing.
I'm not asking you to be graphic, but how do I know? You say you're buying it to, so I'm assuming you're buying it to wipe with.
Why do you think people buy toilet paper?
Mr. Henry, I'm a veteran. I would not be spoken to that way.
And
oh, come on, pal. I mean, are you afraid it's going to wind up on your tree?
Either that, or I'm dropping Gillette right into a Macintosh, a bag
sir,
of Macintosh.
Sir,
yes.
Toilet paper costs too much money for me to throw up in a tree. With this economy, we got to keep our toilet paper in the
well,
bathroom.
So you say. But will
no,
you...
No, that's what I do.
Well,
okay?
Look, if you're willing to buy me an electric fence that is electrified...
Not only that, I will buy one where you can't get out.
Oh, see,
you
now,
stay
see
in.
There's, now I see her agenda.
Stay in
now,
until you need to go to the grocery store.
Now I see your agenda.
You don't need out.
So in other
and
words, you think I'm nuts.
What we need to do is we need to send the men in the white coats, and I've got somebody tracing your call so that we can come and pick you up tomorrow since you have threatened our
you
children.
You know, ma'am, in parts of Europe, the folks just use their bare hand. And those parts of Europe don't have problems with kids TPing houses and so on and so forth. In the time of the Romans, they just used their middle finger.
Oh, come on, man. Are you trying to tell me don't sell toilet paper for fear it's going to wind up in your tree? Or you're dropping, as you say, Gillette into a bag of Macintosh?
You see, you make me the bad guy.
Putting razor blades...
Sir, you are the bad guy. God's looking down at you, and I hope the Lord...
I'm turning the TV on.
...keeps you there.
Who? God? Let me tell you what, it was the good Lord that kept me safe from the Chinese at the Chosin Reservoir.
And it's going to be the good Lord that keeps our children safe from you, sir.
Let me tell you what, it was the good Lord that made my aim true and steady as I wasted about 5 Chinese soldiers trying to take out U.S. Marines boarding our ship there at Chosin.
I'm going to tell you, my dad was a sergeant in the Marine Corps, and he's a hell of a shot.
Yeah, I'll tell you what,
I'm going to send him to your house tomorrow.
You don't send no jarhead over here, okay? I'm U.S. Navy.
You're a jarhead, so I might as well send one to take care of you.
I'm Navy, okay? I ain't no Popeye, all right? I'm just an old-time swabby. And I can tell
okay,
you...
Okay, now send my brother who is
all right,
Navy
okay.
Seal.
Thank you very much. Whatever. Here is John on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, Mr. I can't remember what your name was, but whoever you...
Put on that Fox channel. I'm just talking to my wife. Yes, sir?
Hey, that decided that's putting the razor blades in the
cops.
Apples for the kids.
Keep this on, it's cops.
Well, he better hope that none of those apples go to any cops' little kids because, you know, if cops go out there and they run into somebody that's shooting cops.
Not Gilligan's Island. I want to see Lost, not Gilligan's Island.
Turn the TV down, sir.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, John.
Doggone cop, you know, if there's a cop killer,
who am I speaking with?
They're not going to blow your head out because somebody killed one of their guys.
Who am I speaking with?
John Walsh.
John, are you a little slow? Are you one of those kind of guys?
Yeah, I'm real slow.
I knew a guy like you in the Navy.
A round guy like you, I get real slow.
Well, I knew a guy in the Navy like you, and we had him do odd jobs, you know,
you
around the ship.
You ain't never been in the service.
Oh, I haven't, huh? You want to see my papers, huh? You want to see my service medals? Low, aren't you? Look, why don't you just put your ski cap on, get on your bike, and go deliver some more flowers?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You don't even know how to ride.
Yeah. Why don't you bring...
Hey, I got some AK buddies that might like to come down there and visit you.
Why don't you come on, bring the heat, okay? What are you, some kind of redneck? One of them, what do you call them, those white supremacist kind of a deal?
No, an AK.
Hey, let me tell you what. Why don't you bring it? I remember a time during the war when a young Korean boy tried to take my K rations. I put a razor blade in a plum, and that boy ended up in a circus's chin ling. You dirty rotten.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I bet you did.
Listen, I tell you what.
That.
Look, you know what? I think Herr Fuhrer needs some more spam in the main house. So why'd you go on?
Give me your address.
Okay, you got it?
Language.
1325. Ass-Kick Boulevard.
Ass-Kick Boulevard, huh?
Ass-Kick Boulevard.
And I'm supposed to watch my language.
Yes, and that's it. I'm supposed to watch my language, Washington. You jackass.
All right, both of you guys get out of here. No. No, please don't tell me no. Yes? Hello?
Yes, is this a talk show?
Don't tell me this is a nutcase that called up...
Yeah, I'm sorry, Mr. Lloyd. He got on our phone from the day room.
I don't even want to hear it. 1-800-449-8686, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Tomorrow night, we'll be talking with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We'll be right back.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Making pot brownies. (1-800-449-8686) The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Our website is www.philhendryshow.com, www.philhendryshow.com. Tomorrow night, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police in our plastic surgery segment, Sew Me Up So Tight I'm Talking Through a Hole in My Face, with Sheila Skelly and Dr. Jack Briscoe. And I don't know who a special celebrity guest will be, but there's always a great celebrity guest on Sew Me Up So Tight I'm Talking Through a Hole in My Face. The show that tells you you can be acceptable to people, you can have friends, you can have love, if you weren't so freaking ugly. Okay? Okay. Looking at the news now as we go out this hour, poll finds blacks prefer Kerry 4-1. However, that's down from the support Democrats received in 2000. They backed Al Gore much more. It is down. One of the reasons black Christian conservatives are more prone to vote for Bush than they are for Gore. And only 11% of the so-called black Christian conservatives voted for Bush in the year 2000. They're up to 36% saying they'll vote for Bush this year. Now, one of the reasons why African Americans do poorly, a lot of people ask, why do black folks do poorly when it comes to, you know, why do Republicans do poorly when it comes to the vote of African Americans? Why is this? Now, the average white person will tell you, it's because Democrats have all the welfare programs and all of those poor people programs. I don't believe that that's the case. See, most white people don't understand the politics of the black community. Most white people are utterly ignorant of really what motivates the so-called subculture of the African Americans in our country. They have absolutely no conception whatsoever. They do this fallback, which is, well, they need all those government programs because they don't have no jobs, right? Let me tell you one of the biggest problems that the Republican Party's got with African Americans: the constant consorting with the far right of religious, the Christian right, which traditionally was one of the biggest obstacles to civil rights in this country, the white Christian right. It was from them that sprang the Ku Klux Klan. It was from them that sprang such staunch, stalwart defenders of the democracy as Trent Lott and Strom Thurmond. And I don't give a crap if Thurmond was a Democrat. He comes from the same school of thought that now supports the far right in the Republican Party. That edge of the Republican Party was the entire reason why we had Jim Crow. They were all Dixiecrats that became Republicans. That old creep Strom Thurmond, he was a former Democrat. You want to know why he was a Democrat, don't you? Don't you understand why Strom Thurmond was a Democrat? Because the Democrats, I hate to say this, I'm a Democrat, they were the ones that were pro-slavery. The Republicans are the ones that were against slavery in the Civil War. Democrats didn't think we should go to war about slavery. Democrats wanted to defend the Irish Americans that were coming here and didn't want to have to go to war for black folks. It was enough for the Irish folks coming over to off the boat in New York to try to get themselves a scrap of food, right? All these Democrats, down through the latter part of the 19th century and on into the 20th century, these people were all right, freaking, if you want to call them right-winger, they were anti-integrationist, anti-civil rights people. Then all of a sudden, the Democratic Party had some kind of a come-to-Jesus awakening, and all these Dixiecrats are hung out to dry. They became Republicans. The reason why the Republican Party doesn't do well among African-American voters ain't got anything to do with the fact that they aren't behind a whole lot of government handout programs. There are just as many black folks that have nothing to do with and couldn't give a crap about Jesse Jackson as there are people who don't want to have nothing to do with Bush. What it's got to do with is the fact the Republican Party still keeps a nice, safe, warm spot in the corner of the tent for all of these bigots. Why? I don't know. I got no idea. I'll never become a Republican for that very reason. As long as they still want to fool around with and hold hands with these crackers out in North Carolina that don't want no gays, and they want to hold hands with these Trent Lotts and the rest of these unreconstructed freaking bigots, they ain't never going to get a guy like Henry in their party, and they damn sure ain't going to get a very large part of the black vote. And you guys are joking yourselves if you think you will. You got to somehow get it across to black voters that that part of the Republican, the recent Republican past, is dead. You want to regenerate what the party once represented under a guy by the name of Abraham freaking Lincoln. You ever heard of him? You know who he was, don't you? But as long as they want to be consorting with the Bible thumpers, and I just saw an article today, oh yeah, we got to get these evangelical Christians, man, because they're going to be worth a whole lot of votes. I mean, good God, you know, whatever votes you get from those guys, you lose with African Americans. Is it worth it? Black folks tipped the election in I don't know how many states in 2000, man. They won it for Gore in California. They won it for Gore in a lot of places. You blow off those votes because you want to get a whole bunch of Bible bangers. And I got nothing against people that got a... I don't have anything against a man's religion, for God's sake. But when it represents bigotry, and you guys are keeping a nice warm spot in the corner of the tent for creeps like this, you just lost me, man, and whatever other kind of vote you think you're going to get. I ain't going to have nothing to do with a party until you guys get rid of that stuff. I'm a Democrat because at least they got enough tolerance where they recognize there's more than one kind of an American. I'm going to vote for Bush. Don't worry about it. Despite the fact that he's wrong on the gay marriage thing, he's wrong on stem cell, he's wrong on pro-life, he's wrong on a lot of stuff. But I'll tell you one thing, he's damn right about keeping my country safe over the next 4 years. And I told everybody this 8 months ago on my show, and I remember the guy that called and said, no, you had it all wrong, Phil, it's the economy. No, today, in the poll, number one, security. National security. That's what people care about. That's what they're going to be voting. And if Bush wins, baby, that's why. Which right now it looks like maybe he's got a shot because the polls now show that he's up over Kerry. Because I think Kerry's message has just finally begun to sink in with people, and they're picking it over and they're realizing it's nothing but doo-doo. It's just fetid, stench-ridden doo-doo, and it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean the guy's a bad guy. I don't think the guy's a bad guy. He ain't got nothing to say, for God's sake. He just hasn't got anything to say. He only figured out what his campaign was going to represent about 5 weeks ago. Everybody knows that. Nobody's got any passion for him. It's more about, do you hate Bush or don't you? That's what this election's going to be. Do you hate Bush's living guts or don't you? And unfortunately, I'm sorry, I don't hate his guts. In fact, I don't really hate anybody. I don't like Kerry's politics, man. I don't hate the guy. I ain't going to vote for him for president, though. You'll pardon me, but I just, you know, I can't do it. Can't do it, won't do it. And in 2008, we'll get our act together. And I read a really great article in the London Times. I mentioned this yesterday. It was a Democrat who was voting for Bush, and she said the following. This is putting the Democratic Party on notice. I am, and a lot of Democrats are. Our vote for Bush is putting the party on notice. Let's get our act together. Let's get our heads out of our asses. Let's start to stand for something. Maybe we want to spend the next 4 years figuring out exactly what the hell that is. Because we damn sure haven't been doing that. We've been riding along on our laurels here for the last, I don't know how many years, with Clinton. So for the next 4 years, you're on notice. And I'm saying that also to this Hollywood lobby and the multi-million dollar musicians lobby and all of you people who just said the F word. How do you like that? Why don't you guys go out, you can listen to our webcast, the restreaming of the show, and you can hear me use the F word. Because I just used it. Why don't you guys, Springsteen and John Fogerty, boy, why don't you retire, Fogerty? Why don't you guys go into the studio and cut another album or something, okay? Get out of my hair. And the rest of you jackasses, everybody out there who calls himself a Democrat, we got to get this party out of the hands of these clowns that are sitting in hot tubs in Malibu and start putting it back into the hands of people that work for a living. Have you ever thought about that? These are things for us to think about over the next 4 years as Bush pulls in another term. Because this party, the Democratic Party, had absolutely no response whatsoever for what happened on 9/11 or anything that happened after that other than to criticize. And that's why, if we lose, that's why we're going to lose. And plus, throwing in with guys like Franken and Air America and this constructed corporate prefab phenomenon of liberal radio, and you guys think you're actually speaking for somebody? Who? Like a half a dozen guys sitting around a poker table in Beverly Hills? And one more thing. Years ago, when I started... What are you doing, bud?
I'm getting out of the fridge.
How did you get that sewing machine in the bag?
I don't know, but thank God I'm out.
Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.